Hello, radio family! Welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. Friends, we've got a great show for you lined up today. Our special guest is Catherine Albrecht. Now, Catherine, in addition to sharing her personal testimony of coming to Christ, she's going to be talking a little bit about RFID technology and electronic surveillance and how that all ties into the Bible and biblical prophecy, specifically some of the prophecies that are found in the book of Revelation regarding the mark of the beast. Catherine Albrecht is a popular media commentator whose views have been featured in over 2,000 radio, television, and print news stories. Catherine is a dynamic radio personality who has hosted the daily syndicated radio show Uncovering the Truth with Catherine Albrecht since early 2007. Her unique brand of knowledge, eloquence, and irreverence, coupled with a passion for truth and freedom, have earned her a devoted listener following. She is also the author or co-author of 6 books and videos, including the award-winning bestseller Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Governments Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID, and The Spy Chips Threat, Why Christians Should Resist RFID and Electronic Surveillance. Catherine is a highly effective privacy campaigner who combines thorough academic research, PR savvy, and social action to spotlight important privacy and freedom issues. Her efforts have brought major corporations to their knees, forcing them to renounce invasive plans to track and monitor the public. Catherine has spearheaded the worldwide movement against RFID tracking and implant technologies through boycotts, exposés, and street-level protests since 2003. A sought-after public speaker and privacy expert, Catherine has been invited to address the Federal Trade Commission, the Federal Reserve Bank, the European Commission, the Royal Society of London, and more. She's also the director of Caspian Consumer Privacy, and Caspian stands for Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering, an 18,000-member grassroots organization she founded in 1999 to oppose shopper surveillance. She's been featured on many documentary films, including Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, an expose on the New World Order, the IRS, and the Federal Reserve. She has also been featured in Cloud 10 Pictures' new documentary film, Shadow Government, How the Global Elite Plan to Destroy Democracy and Your Freedom. Her website is www.spychips.com, and it's my pleasure to welcome Catherine Albrecht right now on Divine Intervention. Catherine, you're on Divine Intervention. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much. Now, Catherine, you have a very interesting and unique ministry, if I could call it that. But before we get into spy chips and privacy and all that, why don't you take us to the beginning? Tell us about your background. Who are you and what was it like for you growing up?
Well, I grew up in a household with a Christian mom and a dad who was probably anything but.
Okay.
certainly leaned away from those sorts of things. My mother's parents were Christian, but not overtly so. So I went to church. We probably had about a year and a half that my mom was able to take me to church. And other than that, we just went on Christmas and holidays, so I know. Okay. A lot of Americans grow up in that way.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to find the Lord and to give my heart to Him at the age of 9. But before I did that, when I was 8 years old, I actually had an extraordinary experience with my grandmother, my mom's mom. My mom was in school at the time. She was pursuing a degree in education. She was getting her master's, and so I spent a lot of time hanging out with my wonderful grandmother. And she and I, we pretty much did everything together. We ran errands together. We hung out together. She would go over my schoolwork with me together. And one day we had been grocery shopping, and we came home, and we were putting the groceries away. And about halfway through putting the groceries away, I'm not sure what it was that caused her to pick that moment, but she sat me down at the kitchen table. This was in a farmhouse in the Midwest.
Okay.
Sat me down at the kitchen table and said, "Kathy, I've got something really important I need to tell you." And I sat down and kind of looked at the groceries and said, "Okay." And I knew this was an important moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that there was going to come a time at some point in the future where people would not be able to buy or sell unless they had a mark on their right hand or their forehead.
Wow.
And of course, I now know that she was referring to the mark of the beast, which is described in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verses 16 through 18, which talk about a time that all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, or imprisoned or enslaved, will have to have a mark on their right hand or their forehead in order to buy or sell. That mark will either be the number 666, which is the number of the beast, or the number of a man, or his name. Mm. And as my grandmother was telling me about this, I was trying to wrap my 8-year-old brain around the idea of using numbers to buy and sell, and I couldn't imagine how you could buy something with a number. Now, you've got to realize this was the 1970s. There were no credit cards. There actually was Diners Club, which came out in the 50s, but nobody we knew had one of those, and they certainly weren't widespread or popular.
It's pretty heavy for a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old. My gosh.
Yeah, but even the adults at that time, really the only payment methods that they used were cash and checks. I mean, that's what the whole country was using back in the 1970s. There really was not the credit card sort of onslaught or avalanche didn't happen until the 1980s.
Right.
So this was a span of time in the early 70s when really nobody had credit cards. There certainly weren't computers. My father actually worked in a computer lab at the local university, but it took up two city blocks. So as you can imagine, the idea that something that enormous could actually find its way into a supermarket was inconceivable to me. And I really just couldn't imagine how that would be possible. So I tucked away her words in my heart, and she made me promise two things. One, that I would never take this mark, and that was a no-brainer. I said, well, of course I'll never do that. And the second thing was that I would pass this information along. And so I thought, well, that's fine. I'll pass it on to my descendants and their descendants, and eventually, in thousands of years when this finally happens, my descendants will know not to participate in the system.
That's
interesting. Well, that came and went. And at the time, as I was pondering this in my heart over the following evenings and days, sort of thinking about these things, I made a decision that if this ever did start to happen in my lifetime, that I would pick up the Bible and I would know that everything else in it was true as well.
That's good.
Well, fortunately, a year later, I was actually a small Gideon's Bible. It was one of the little free giveaway New Testaments.
Right.
That led me to the Lord. I had always felt called to spiritual things from the time as small as I can remember. And when I was 9, I actually had one of these wonderful Bibles that was just my own personal possession. I don't even know how I came by it, but in the back it had the prayer. And I gave my life and dedicated my life to Christ and acknowledged myself as a sinner at the age of 9. And I don't even think I ever told anybody that I had done it. It's just something that I did, and I knew it was the right thing to do. And then growing up in Los Angeles, in that sort of self-centered and hedonistic and very corrupt culture, I wandered away. I experimented.
Many of us do.
I thought I would find God in other places where He certainly was not. And it wasn't until I was actually married and an adult that I really felt called back to those Christian roots. And as I returned to a lot of that, I became aware that the words of my grandmother were coming true, that it actually was happening around me. So in the late 1990s, one of the things that that really impacted me was the mobile speed pass. For the first time, it was possible to simply wave a computer chip at a payment device, in the case of the mobile speed pass, at your gas pump or at the cash register. They actually had little payment devices at the cash register. And here you could simply wave a microchip at these payment devices and make a payment. And something in me just recoiled in disgust at the thought of doing that. And I said, we really are getting to the point where the technology may actually make this possible. Now, also in the late 1990s, the first implantable microchips were being discussed, and people were talking about the potential down the road that you could implant a microchip that would do the same thing as the mobile speed pass and transmit your payment information. And then the logical place to put that would, of course, be in your hand, because that's the easiest thing to reach out and press up to a payment device or a cash register or a gas pump. So all of that kind of started to reawaken my awareness of the things that my grandmother had told me. And I don't tell this to too many people, but I had an absolutely extraordinary experience in the fall of 1999 where I was actually, I don't know how else to say it other than to say, blessed by a visit from the Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, we're very open to these types of things. As you may know, the show is Divine Intervention. So we feature a lot of miracles and a lot of interesting things that maybe some other shows would not. But,
well,
you know, one of the questions...
So maybe I can actually talk about these things.
Oh.
You know, it's funny because I don't normally talk about that. And I'm thinking, why am I, why am I telling...
No, this is the perfect forum for it, believe me. Because, you know, we like to showcase God's miracles. And one of the things I ask people is, well, how do you know that God is real? And when you experience him personally, that's obviously a big piece of evidence. So go ahead and share your story.
Well, absolutely. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Well... So I'll tell the story of how it actually happened. I was typing on the internet, and at the time, the topic of my doctoral dissertation work at Harvard was internet communications. And so I spent a lot of time on the internet trying to see how interacting through text and interacting through this sort of artificial environment impacted relationships. And as a result, I had some friends online. And I was talking to one of them who was a Christian, and he... This is going to sound crazy, but he typed to me on the screen. He said, "You're going to have a visit from the Holy Spirit." And I thought, well, I guess that would be cool if that happened. No, I mean now. And at that moment, I felt like the room flooded with light, like I flooded with light and love. And I typed back. It was all I could do to type back and say, "I think it's happening. I've got to go." And I proceeded from that point, from being just a sort of a graduate student, kind of working on my stuff. I was newly married, trying to set up household with my husband, just kind of living my life.
Mm-hmm.
I went from that to becoming pretty much a full-time activist and a media figure and a spokesperson for all sorts of things. And as you referred to it in the beginning of the program, launching this ministry that I'm now embarked on. And at the time, a big part of my realization that the things my grandmother had been talking about, this was all swirling in my head. I was becoming aware of this, and I was feeling so strongly compelled to resist it, to speak out about it, to inform other people about it. And what I, probably all of this sort of hinged around the supermarket frequent shopper carts, of all things.
Yes.
I realized that when we go into the supermarket, we used to be able to just buy anything at a discount because things would just be on sale. But back in the mid-1990s, they started introducing these supermarket frequent shopper carts where you had to actually present a numbered ID card in order to get the same discounts that you used to be able to get just by walking through the door. And perhaps it's because my grandmother had told me about the Mark of the Beast while we were putting away groceries. Oh, and I left one part of the story out. As we were putting away the groceries and she told me this, I said, "Grandma, do you mean even groceries? That you won't be able to even buy and sell food without the mark?" And she said, "Especially groceries, that's how they'll get people to sign up, because if you don't take the mark, you'll starve."
The grocery
piece had always kind of stuck in my mind and in my heart as the place where I would first see the mark of the beast coming, is that it would come first through the food.
Mm.
And so as I was noticing these awful supermarket frequent shopper carts that were requiring you to give them your information and requiring you to show a numbered ID card and putting you in a computer database and making a record of all of your purchases. Few people realize that, but that is what the purpose of the card is to record everything that you buy and make a record of when you shop and how you shop.
Right.
And so I, in that span of grace, I guess I would call it, that lasted about a week, in that span of time, you're going to laugh, I learned how to write HTML. I learned how to do photo editing or image editing in Photoshop. I taught myself all of this in the span of like one day, and I created a website at nocards.org, and it's still up. People can still see it. All of the artwork on there, all of the HTML, all of the coding, all of the graphics, all of the everything were hand-coded by me during that one span of time. Now, it's hilarious to me now because I look back and I can't even edit a misspelling on my current website. But I was able to create that entire website from scratch, out of nothing, out of thin air, and create that entire website, which grew into an organization that now has 20,000 members around the globe.
Wow. And can you give out the web address again?
Yes, it's nocards, nocards.org.
Okay.
It's kind of historical now because I've since moved on to some other topics, but I can tell you how the Lord led me to those topics if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much to cover on this topic.
So I put the website up in 1 week, and it was a very, very gracious way in which this experience or the sort of enlightenment of the Holy Spirit that happened to me for that week. It was a very gracious way that it left, but it left me sort of with the promise of, okay, now you've been launched.
Yeah, obviously
and
God had a plan.
I got on my knees and I prayed the prayer that I've prayed on a regular basis ever since then, which has now been close to 11 years. I prayed, Lord, please use me to do your will. Use my hands, use my mouth, my mind, my talents, my resources. I put them all at your disposal, and I ask that you would use me and work through me to accomplish whatever it is that your purpose is on earth.
That's amazing.
And he has done such incredible things in my life since that span of time, unbelievable things that he's accomplished.
He's really given you a platform and opened doors for you to get this message out.
Immensely. I've done over 2,000 media interviews. I've been on Coast to Coast AM and reached over 12 million people 30
incredible.
Times, each time giving the testimony of Christ. I have been, one of the funny things, when we wrote a book, and I'll get to that in a minute, but one of the things that the industry that we were going after for privacy violations, they were always looking for a crack or a chink in my armor, a way to go after me, and they even hired a PI, a private investigator, to go through, you know, my phone records, and it was really terrifying. So I had lots of experiences with this industry out to get me, but they could never find any dirt on me because I'm a pretty, you know, what you see is what you get.
Right.
But when I came out as a Christian, they went nuts. And they actually took, you'll love this story, in order to humiliate me and write terrible things about me and my work, they published an article in the New York Times. There's actually a New York Times business writer who wrote an article in the New York Times and said, you know that Catherine Albrecht who's been opposing all of these privacy-invading technologies, that privacy advocate who's been such a pain in the rear so many years? Well, she's one of those nutty, lunatic Christians. And in fact, here's
scandalous.
What news, and they published in the pages of the New York Times the text of Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18. In fact,
free publicity right there.
They published it. I thought, you know what? Even if I'd gone to the New York Times with $500,000 and said, "Would you please print this as an ad?" They wouldn't. And yet, thinking that they're poking fun at me, they printed it right there in the Times.
They're getting the word of God out.
Four millions of people saw it there.
Now that ties.
To step back, let me just give you the quick version to bring you up to speed.
Sure.
So we launched this organization. I had the support of my husband as I was doing this. Launched this organization, had the website up for, gosh, I guess a couple of months, and then the media started contacting me because we were the only organization or one of the only organizations speaking out against the use of these supermarket frequent shopper cards. And so I became known as the frequent shopper card expert. I was doing radio. I was doing television interviews. I was doing, I was on Extra. I was on all these different things. And I began to kind of cut my teeth in the media realm by having all of these experiences. And then in 2001, 2001, 2002, I had a dream. I'll tell you. Again, not something I speak about very often.
A prophetic dream?
That I was on an escalator. I was in a beautiful department store, like a Nordstrom's or a Macy's, an expensive department store. I was on an escalator. I was going up the escalator into the women's cosmetics and perfume section, where they've got all the glass and the mirrors and the beautiful little expensive bottles of things.
Right.
And as I got to the top of the escalator, you know where the escalator kind of curves?
Yeah.
Sort of feel like you're going over a little bit of a bump.
Uh-huh.
And then you step forward. As I got to the top of that escalator, I had a bone-chilling, terrifying sense that the floor was reaching up through me and scanning me.
Wow.
And I woke up in abject terror, one of those moments where you're so afraid you don't even want to turn the light on. You're just lying there frozen, terrified. And as I lay there, I thought, what was so scary about that? What the heck was that? And what was so scary about it? And the sensation that I had was that the floor reached literally up, like some kind of a beam, reached up through me and knew everything about me simply by stepping off the escalator onto the floor. Well, I kind of, you know, you have these dreams. It had a very, very vivid quality to it. But
okay.
I thought, well, I don't even know what that was, but let me get on with my life. A couple of months later, I stumbled across something called the Auto ID Center, which is the RFID, the place where they created radio frequency identification.
Okay.
And I was writing an article for the Denver University Law Review on shopper carts. That was my topic.
Right.
And they wanted an article. This is another funny example. I said, how long do you want it to be? They said, about 14 pages.
That's a big article.
Or up to 14 pages. I understood 40
oh, wow.
pages. So I spent 6 months of my life writing a 42-page article, the definitive article on supermarket frequent shopper carts and their privacy downsides. And after the six-month period, as I was going through all of these different links and resources and things to put all everything I knew down in one place, I ran across a quote. And the quote was by a guy named John Sturmer. He's a vice president for the market research company AC Nielsen. A lot of people have heard of the Nielsen rating.
Right, sure.
He said, first there was the barcode, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, first there was the barcode. Now, you know, in the 1970s, a lot of people objected to the barcode as potentially being the mark of the beast. And a lot of people remember that. It actually met with a huge amount of resistance until 1984, of all prophetic years, when Walmart issued a mandate that its top suppliers had to use barcodes or they could no longer sell at Walmart. And back in the 1980s, Walmart wasn't yet the largest retailer on the globe, but they were still a pretty powerful force to be reckoned with.
Sure.
And they single-handedly advanced the use of the barcode. Now, that's going to be relevant in just a minute when we talk about this next technology. But barcode, I would say, if I had been an activist and a Christian on this anti-mark of the beast kick back in the 1970s, I would have been right out there with the protesters. Because I firmly believe that the barcode was a necessary precursor to the mark of the beast in a number of ways.
Sure.
What the barcode did was, for the first time, it took physical objects. See, God thinks in terms of actual individual people and individual objects.
Mm-hmm.
Satan and his technological system sees things in terms of numbers, sees things in terms of impersonal units to be accumulated and amassed and controlled. And the notion of converting physical objects into numbers that could then be stored as numbers in databases was a necessary precursor to some of the stuff that came next. So anyway, this guy, John Sturmer from AC Nielsen, says in his quote, first there was the barcode, which did a great job of telling us what was being bought and sold. Then along came the frequent shopper card at the supermarkets, which did a great job of telling us who was buying those items. But he said, there's still some blind spots in our knowledge. We don't know when, where, and how people use the things that they buy. But there's a new technology on the horizon that promises to tell us that. It's called RFID, radio frequency identification. Now, as I was reading this, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. Supermarket frequent shopper cards are bad enough. You're telling me that you're going to come up with something worse? So not only will you know what I'm buying and peer over my shoulder and store everything in a database and spy on me that way, but you're telling me that you're actually going to get into my home and monitor the use of my products in my bathroom or my kitchen? So at that point, I said, I need to know more about this. So I went on a quest to learn everything I could about RFID, radio frequency identification. And what I discovered is that the epicenter of the creation of this new technology was right down the street from Harvard, where I was a student, at MIT, Massachusetts Institute
right.
of Technology.
Okay.
And what MIT had done, actually it was Procter & Gamble, and people need to be aware of Procter & Gamble, which has its own sort of occult roots and background. Procter & Gamble is a fascinating company because it's just incredibly... it's got quite a corrupt history, I'll put it that way.
I've heard,
but Procter & Gamble has since become the largest consumer product manufacturing company on the globe. They make virtually everything. They make Crest toothpaste, they make Tide laundry detergent, they make Cascade dishwashing detergent, they make CoverGirl makeup. You can go on and on and on at the number of things that they make.
Catherine, I'm going to stop you right there. Okay, we have to take a short break, but I want to come back. And on the other side of the break, I want you to explain why all of this technology and privacy invasion is actually a bad thing. Because many people may see it as a good thing. Well, advertisers can target their markets better. But of course, there are other more sinister implications. So once again, we're talking with Catherine Albrecht. Her website is spychips.com. Please stay with us on Divine Intervention. We'll be right back with more. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. If you enjoy the testimonies on my talk show, I've also written a book containing more amazing stories of God's divine interventions and miracles. More information about Divine Intervention, the book, can be found on the web at www.zulonpress.com. That's XULONpress.com. Or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665. Welcome back to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we've been speaking to a very intriguing individual. We have Catherine Albrecht on the line, and she is a privacy expert, and she's been talking about RFID technology and how it all ties into Revelation, the mark of the beast, and the coming New World Order. Catherine, before the break, we were talking about Procter & Gamble, which has a very corrupt history. And they've become one of the largest, or if not the largest, manufacturer of food items in the world. Tell us more about that, and pick it up from where you left off.
What's interesting about Procter & Gamble, they're a truly global corporation. They're in every country in the world. They sell their products.
Right.
They recently merged with Gillette, which makes not only Gillette shaving products, but also makes Duracell batteries and Oral-Bron dental care products. And when that merger occurred, they became the largest consumer product company on the globe. So if you want to understand, if you were standing on another planet, you were trying to look at the Earth and say, how does this place function? What kind of stuff gets sold on the Earth? Well, the number one company selling stuff on Earth is Procter & Gamble, at least in terms of like small household stuff. Right. And the number one place through which these things are sold is Walmart. They're the biggest retailer on the globe. Now, both of these play an immense role in what we're about to talk about. If you wanted to understand buying and selling, which, of course, my little 8-year-old brain did when my grandmother told me about the Mark of the Beast, if you want to understand buying and selling, you need to understand where things are being bought and sold, and that's primarily nowadays Walmart, and what is being bought and sold, which is primarily nowadays Procter & Gamble products.
Okay.
Right? Now, taking that as background, let me go back and tell you what I discovered had occurred in 1999. Prophetically, perhaps, the very same month that I had my visit by the Holy Spirit and founded Caspian, Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering, October 1999, the week that I created the website and the organization, that very same month, there was a man named Kevin Ashton, my same initials even, who worked for Procter & Gamble, and he founded something called the Auto ID Center at MIT.
Mm.
Now, the Auto ID stands not for automotive, but for automatic ID for identification.
Okay.
So Automatic Identification Center, founded October 1999. Now, I did not find out about them. I had a dream about their technology, which is what that nightmare of being scanned by the floor was, I later discovered. But I still didn't really know much about any of this. Nobody knew about it. No one was discussing it. These guys were meeting behind closed doors. Procter & Gamble, this guy Kevin Ashton, had come up with the idea that you could manage inventory instead of using barcodes, that if you could put a tiny radio transponder on every lipstick, for example, that you would be able to find all the lipsticks in the warehouse.
Or you'd
be able to monitor the shelf at the store and know how many lipsticks were on the shelf. You could do instant inventory management. So he convinced the higher-ups at Procter & Gamble to invest some money and take a risk and go to the engineers at MIT and say, hey, can you find a way to take radio transmitters and make them small enough and cheap enough that they could replace the barcode so that every physical object on planet Earth, instead of having a barcode, or perhaps in addition to having a barcode, would have a radio transmitter so that these objects could communicate with one another, and so they could communicate with a centralized database. So every physical object on Earth would be uniquely numbered and uniquely trackable.
Wow.
He took this idea to MIT. They started this organization, which nobody had heard of. They then went out to major corporations, Walmart, Home Depot, Kimberly-Clark, Nestle, Kraft, Coca-Cola, Duracell, or Gillette, you name it. They went to all of these big corporations. They got them all on board, investing up to $500,000 apiece in the creation of this technology. And this was all happening behind closed doors without the knowledge of the public. I stumbled across it through that one little quote from John Sturmer. And from that point forward, and by the way, this whole story is written out in our book, Spy Tips, which I would strongly recommend anybody who wants to understand the future of this globe needs to read this book, because we went through 30,000 different documents by these corporations as to what they have planned for us, and it is mind-blowing.
Now, Catherine, I want to play devil's advocate for a moment here. What you're talking about, many people may look at it as, well, it's good business. It increases efficiency. And I just want to know, why could this be construed as something bad or evil?
Well, let me give you a couple of answers to that. Let me give you first the practical sort of secular answer to that, and that is the privacy invasion planned by these corporations is almost unimaginable. I'll give you one example from that we talked about in our book. IBM, which is hugely involved in all of this, IBM wants to control the whole globe here. IBM has come up with something they call the Person Tracking Unit. That's actually their name for this thing.
Okay.
The Person Tracking Unit is an RFID reader that can read all of the signals from these little microchips. Now, they envision these microchips in everything, in every pair of shoes, every Bible, every Bic pen, every pair of underwear, you name it, every physical object on Earth, they want to have equipped with one of these microchips. The Person Tracking Unit is a device that is about the size of a pager.
Okay.
It would go into a wall. It would go into a doorway, a ceiling tile. It could go under a floor tile or under the carpeting. It could go in the walls. And as you pass by within a couple of feet of this device, which would be hidden, the device would wake up and read all of your RFID tags. So it would do essentially an invisible frisk. It would read all of the products and items and objects that you were wearing and carrying. It would read right through your purse or your pocket or your backpack, so it would know what things even that you intended to keep private. And it would read unique ID numbers on all of those things and store your whereabouts in a database. So we just saw Catherine Albrecht walk through the doorway of the Target store. We just saw, Joe Patterson walk through the doorway of the Atlanta courthouse, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what was especially disturbing about this is not only can they read all of your items and essentially do an invisible frisk on you, but they can also obviously identify you. One of the biggest markets on the globe right now for RFID is passports and ID cards.
Right.
In fact, the entire nation of China just issued 1 billion of these cards to every citizen in the country. So they are all carrying they're passive RFID tags that can be activated by scanners in the environment, just like IBM talks about with the Person Tracking Unit. The places where IBM wants to place these, install these units to keep to watch over us, include museums, theaters, libraries, sports arenas, shopping malls, even elevators and public restrooms.
Wow.
The idea being that everywhere you go in public, you will be scanned, you will be monitored, the contents of your pockets will be inventoried, and the people that you stand near, though they will be identified. They'll know who you ate lunch with, who you walked through the doorway with, even whether you washed your hands or not when you went to the bathroom. That's the level of detail that they're talking about.
When you say they will know, who is they and what is their purpose in all of this?
Well, IBM has a plan. You should do a little research into IBM and the smarter planet that they've got planned. It's shocking.
Yeah,
but the idea is that this information would be put into the hands of marketers. They could use it to spam you with individualized billboards and personalized advertising, kind of Minority Report style. They also talked about getting this in this network, this infrastructure, into the hands of law enforcement officials so that they could scan suspicious persons. And based on my reading of history and things that have happened in other countries in the past, Soviet Union, Cambodia, certainly under Hitler in Nazi Germany, a suspicious person has a tendency to expand to include anybody who is not completely lockstep in line with a corrupt government.
Yes, I understand that, and we've seen that, as you mentioned, all throughout history. one of the reasons why I love our Constitution and especially the Second Amendment. An armed citizenry, you know, keeps the government in line, but if you take the citizen's ability to defend himself away, there's no protection against governmental abuse. And I think our founding fathers understood that.
Absolutely. And as Christians, we know that there will come a time when the mere act of being a Christian and refusing to bow the knee to the beast is going to be actually punishable by beheading. So we do know that there are reasons to be a little bit concerned
right.
with that kind of government control. So that's sort of the big picture. There are so many other elements to this that obviously we can't get into in a one-hour interview, but I would encourage people to read our book, Spy Chips, which details all of this, everything from tracking cars, tracking the contents of your refrigerator. It explains what John Sturmer had in mind when he mm-hmm. talked about knowing what you throw, the products that you buy, when you use them in your bathroom, shocking stuff that that the RFID industry has in mind.
Right.
I told you I was going to give you two answers to your question of what...
Oh, yes, the spiritual answer.
Yeah, let me give you the spiritual answer.
Okay.
And this is going to sound, well, bear with me.
Sure.
It is my, after sitting with this information and deep in prayer over these issues for the last 10 years, and with my I don't know what you'd call it, my ministry, I suppose, being the mark of the beast and alerting people to that, I've spent a lot of time in prayer asking for guidance and insight and enlightenment about these issues. And one thing that I've come to understand is that God views us, as I said, he views us as individuals with value in our own right because of who we are, because he made us. That's how he views us. That's how he views all of creation. God knows the number of hairs on your head. He numbers them. He knows each time a sparrow falls from the sky. He knows all things. And he cares about all of his creation. Satan, from the very, very beginning in the garden, has always wanted to usurp the powers of God. But Satan doesn't have the powers of God, thank goodness.
yeah, right.
He doesn't have those abilities, so he must work through human intervention in order to achieve his goals. Well, his goal, as is very clear in the Bible and certainly in Revelation, his goal is to supplant God and to receive our worship. He wants to be God, but he can only do that in a counterfeit way. He can never achieve the powers of God. Well, one of the powers that God has that we just talked about is the power of omniscience. He knows all things.
Right.
Satan wants that power as well. He wants to know the hairs on your head. He wants to know when a sparrow falls from the sky. He wants to know when you take your razor off the shelf and when you shave. He wants to be in and watching all of the things that God is able to watch, but he can only do it in a counterfeit way, and he can only do it through technology.
Wow.
So it is my belief, and I'll tell you, I can give you plenty of examples of this, but what is an RFID tag? The goal of these guys is to put a unique ID number onto every object on planet Earth. They've come up with a numbering system. It's 2 to the 96th power, 96 bits, which is enough unique ID numbers to number every grain of sand on planet Earth with no duplicates.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how powerful the numbering system is. The chips are the size of a speck of dust. They could easily be placed on every object on planet Earth. This is the plan. They've even talked about, right now they're putting them in sea creatures. They're putting them in animals.
Are you serious?
They've even talked about putting one into every sapling, literally every baby tree on Earth, so they can monitor all the trees.
How would this even be possible? I mean,
they're doing it. It would blow your mind. They are doing it.
It's blown my mind already, and I don't even know that much about it.
Numbering every physical object on Earth is going to create an infrastructure of total awareness for this thing, which I believe is being built so that it will be occupied and personified by the spirit of the beast when it finally comes.
So we're actually seeing Revelation lived out in front of us, or if we're paying attention, we are anyway. Now, when John wrote this Revelation, you know, on the island of Patmos when he was being exiled, I mean, the possibility of this type of technology did not exist, I mean, for thousands of years.
Not only that, but I've done a DVD called On the Brink of the Mark, and I actually broke down and we looked at each section of that prophecy, and just the Mark of the Beast prophecy specifically, a time when all people could be subjected to anything was inconceivable 2,000 years ago when John wrote that, because they didn't even know what was over the next, you know, the next mountain range.
Right.
They didn't know it was across certain oceans. There wasn't an understanding of the entirety of the globe. So in order to achieve that part, you had to have the entire globe identified and mapped out. You had to sort of shrink the world in a way that's happened in the last 100 years.
So
that piece has come about. You had to have the ability to buy and sell with numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's only been around for the last century or so. You had to have the ability to do it in real time, and that's only been around since we've had the internet and satellite communications. So
right.
All of the pieces of that prophecy that were necessary to come together have been coming together like clockwork. But only now, only in this generation, only since, of all things, the supermarket frequent shopper card and the high-speed, ubiquitously networked computers in all of the retail establishments, have we had the ability to actually implement the Mark of the Beast.
That's
and there's one
insane.
More piece to this. The RFID industry initially was started with the idea of tagging all of the products. They're still going to do that. But they've been slowed down because we've been fighting them in the trenches for the last 8 years.
Well, I thank God for people like you who are standing in the gap and resisting this.
Well, thank you. You can find out about that in Spy Chips, but just really quickly, what they've moved to now is putting these things in ID cards and in credit cards.
Wow.
And now, unlike the mobile speed pass where you had to wave a weird device, you can now wave your credit card at RFID payment devices that are going into retail locations and restaurants all around the country right now.
And you know,
that same technology that's in the credit card is the exact same technology with just a few minor tweaks that can be implanted into your hand. So
wow.
If and when the decision is made that we need to have a mark or an implant in our hands, the infrastructure for making those payments at the cash registers will already be in place. Anytime you see a PayPass unit at a cash register, you are looking at an integral component of the Mark of the Beast.
That
is
incredible.
The device that captures, it's like the person tracking unit, that captures the signal from these radio frequency tags. And it is just a matter of time. There was just a study out this week in Germany that 1 in 4 Germans is willing to actually take an implant in their body.
Well, I think people in America are largely unaware of the consequences of this as well, because I've seen people who are, you know, they market it as if, in case there's an emergency, we can find you. Or if you have, a health crisis and you can't pick up a phone, we know where you are. It stores your medical data, and it's very convenient for your banking. You don't have to carry cash. You won't be robbed, you know. So there's a lot of, sales hooks to this as well, that it's being presented as a good thing. But really,
and we know that's really how Satan operates. I mean, he presents you a counterfeit. He makes it sound really good, even though the payment for it is always way higher than the benefit that you derive. He does
right.
that with virtually everything. And he makes you the promises that God would make you, but he can't deliver on them. So
right.
I'll give you perfect security, perfect safety. Of course, that is a true promise of God, but it's a false promise of Satan. And there's only one little catch. You have to be enslaved in order to achieve that safety. And
wow.
I won't give it to you anyway, even after you're enslaved. I'll just laugh at you because you won't have it even then.
You know, it's interesting. This whole debate, this whole concept of people being numbered and stuff reminds me of, I think it was King David who took a census and he numbered the people. And God punished him for that. He was not supposed to do that. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, he got into his head this idea that he was going to count the people of Israel, and he wasn't supposed to be counting them. Even the census has me a little bit concerned. This idea seems to come up repeatedly over and over of wanting to count and number and quantify people.
And that's only God's job, right?
That is not our purview. That's not a job for human beings to do. That is God's realm.
Right.
It's his information. He is the one with the omniscience to know who and where we are and what we're doing. Obviously, he knows all of that, but that's not territory that we human beings are supposed to tread into. And in fact, because of David's sin in that regard, he was presented with, I believe, 3 different possible punishments, all
right.
of which were horrible.
Yes.
And they resulted in huge amounts of heartache for the people of Israel. So,
and many deaths.
Even when your leader makes a decision to count and number you, you wind up paying the price,
essentially. Yeah. It's very interesting. The people of Israel, they weren't even supposed to have a king, but they wanted a king. They demanded it, and God gave it to them, but he said, you're going to be enslaved. He's going to take your men. He's going to tax you. you know, but they wanted it. And I think to some extent, people here in America, they want to be led. They don't want to think about these things. They don't want to take responsibility for themselves. And we have, well, a lot of times we have a pack mentality. We want to just follow.
Well, and I think the thing that we need to pray for more than anything right now is discernment. Because when I see these new technologies, there's an instant sort of tightening in my stomach or right. a wave of nausea that I see when the technologies are things that are going to lead to this kind of thing down the road. I mean, I just instantly feel it. I see it. I know it. A lot of Christian people, good Christian people, don't.
They don't get it.
That's really my prayer, that God would open up eyes and hearts, that he would allow people to see. You know, he says throughout the Bible, let he who has an ear hear.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out there who have ears. The Lord has given them ears, but they're stuffed with cotton. They can't hear.
Mm.
And so what I pray for is that people would see these things and understand which of them are leading in this terrible direction.
Right. We have arrived.
I'll give you one example. I was at Peacemakers International Ministry, which is a wonderful ministry out of Michigan, where they buy up burned out urban lots in the ghetto and they turn them into gardens.
Okay.
They allow the people to work there and then they share the produce with them. It's an extraordinary ministry, wonderful people. And while I was there in the inner city, a busload of Christian teenagers came in from the suburbs, wealthy, you know, from a wealthier church.
Okay.
And they were working in the field, digging and planting potatoes. And I got to chatting with the woman who was sort of in charge of the group, and she said, "Oh, well, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I flew out from New Hampshire to give a speech about the Mark of the Beast." And she said, "Oh, well, you know, talk to me about that." And I said, "Well, there's these microchip implants." Which, if you go to antichips.com, you can see our protest and lots of extraordinary things the Lord has done in my life about that issue.
Okay.
But the implantable microchip is actually here. It's called the VeriChip. They cause cancer in laboratory mice and rats. Between 1 and 10% of animals implanted with these devices develop cancer around. They actually get tumors right around the microchip. And we've protested their use in Alzheimer's patients and other people. And if we had time, I could give you an awesome story about the Lord doing a miracle in my life around that. But in any event, I'm talking to this woman, and she says, "Well, why would you oppose that?"
And this is a Christian lady.
What's that? Because it's horrifying. She said, "Well, I think it's a good idea to put those into pets and to put them into Alzheimer's patients.
So we can find them, right?"
She just didn't get it.
No. Well, people need to read their Bibles and really pray about this, because just because someone is a Christian doesn't mean they understand the fullness of what's really going on.
Yep.
Now, all this technology and everything that's coming down the pike, it's really scary. I mean, we've arrived at the book of Revelation. But, you know, I think this started way before the 70s.
Oh, it did. No question.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, the code section in the U.S. code that is used to issue Social Security numbers is code section number 666. Are you aware of that?
You know what? That's actually the one that was introduced, I want to say, in 99. It might have been 98, but it's the deadbeat dad clause that requires you to have a Social Security number in order to do just about anything.
Yeah, I looked at so that, the code section.
If you want to get a fishing license, if you want to get a hunting license, if you want to get a contractor's license, if you want to get blah, 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 you have to have a Social Security number and present it. And that's... I think it's the U.S. Commercial Code section something something.
Yeah, the code section 6. I just looked at that and I was like, wow, I wonder if that's a coincidence or if they planned that.
You know what we're going to start seeing is more and more places where, see, the devil likes to kind of put his thumbprint on things. He likes to put his little mark on it and say, "Hey, I did this."
No,
and so you will see more of this. There's a lot of companies out there doing RFID technology with evil symbols, evil names. Overt. One of them is called Alien Technology with claw marks as its symbol. Red bloody claw marks on a black background.
Wow. Well, a lot of these companies and these people have, I guess, an occult background.
I've actually found not. In my experience, what drives these folks is not a cult. In fact, most of them, I think, are completely oblivious to the fact that there is a spiritual world at all. And they pride themselves on that. But what I have found over the years is that Satan, when he's got something he wants to accomplish, he looks for someone who's steeped in sin, whether it's pride, whether it's greed, whether mm-hmm. it's lust, whatever it might be. And whenever you're allowing a sin to be in the driver's seat of your life instead of Jesus Christ, then that creates a space for Satan to hop into the driver's seat and to drive your life, your business, your affairs in such a way that it achieves his ends.
So these people are probably not aware.
A lot of these people working in this industry, I've never met a Christian in the RFID industry. I've never met
one. Wow. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, they're secular. They are completely, they dismiss anything having to do with religion or anything having to do with the Bible. They are immensely dismissive of me because of my overt spoken Christian beliefs. But it's very interesting watching how lockstep they're stepping right into Satan's plan, and they're implementing it.
Right.
And without even realizing it, they're tools. They're being used.
They're unaware and that they are puppets, basically, in this grand scheme.
I'll give you an analogy for it. I sort of see the world as a giant chessboard.
Uh-huh.
And most everybody out there is a pawn. They're on the black team or the white team. You know, they're just sort of pawns. It's when you actually step up and you offer your life to your master, to the one you serve, that you actually get graduated to be a real, you know, a
king knight.
Or a knight or a bishop or some more powerful piece on the board.
Wow.
So that when God moves us on the white team or on the positive team, when you actually get on your knees and you pray that prayer, Lord, use me to do your will. I give you my life. I give it all to you. Use it. That graduates you from a pawn that gets buffeted around regarding, you know, no matter how the wind blows.
Right.
It graduates you up to being an actual key player.
Mm.
And he can move you in ways that actually have an impact.
Right.
Now, that's through no grace whatsoever on my part.
Wow.
That I've been able to achieve what I've done. It's entirely because of him, because I offered to step out of the way and get out of my own life, away from my own desires, and let him move me on the chessboard. Unfortunately, there are people doing the same thing on the dark team.
Right.
There are people out there who have given their lives to Satan. You can see them in Haiti. There's voodoo priests who worship King Satan.
Yeah, I know. It's all over.
And they get used in powerful ways. So it works on both sides. But if your listeners have not yet done that, I would encourage them to do it, because it's extraordinary what the Lord can do with a willing heart.
Yes, indeed. And Catherine, I want to thank you so much. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but it's been certainly a very enlightening and informative interview. And Catherine, why don't you give out your website and tell people a little bit about Spy Chips again, and also the Cloud 10 documentary, Shadow Government, that you're featured in.
Yeah, I do a daily radio show. I'm on from 4 to 6 p.m. People can find the show either live at CatherineAlbrecht.com, or they can find the archives for a lot of people who listen in the evenings. While you're on the website, if you click on products, which is a link on the right-hand side, you can find a link to an order form where you can purchase a copy of Spy Chips, a signed copy, which I will personally hand sign and hand address and send to you. You can also get a copy of our brand new documentary film called Shadow Government, which is all about these technologies, about the world government, and about how all of this was predicted 2,000 years ago in the Bible. And Shadow Government is also, you can see a trailer at CatherineAlbrecht.com under products, and you can also find an order form where you can get a copy. In there, I also have the report on microchip implants,
okay,
the frequently asked questions,
right,
as well as the cancer report explaining how they cause cancer. And I've also got the DVD on the brink of the mark and an overview DVD on RFID. So pretty much anything people want to know, they can just go to CatherineAlbrecht.com. And if you're interested in implantable microchips, go to antichips.com.
All right. Once again, Catherine Albrecht. Catherine, thanks for taking the time out. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, and God bless all your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, friends, that about does it for this edition of Divine Intervention. Once again, I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we hope that this episode has encouraged you to know that God is real, he's still moving in the world, and that he loves you. Take care and God bless. We'll see you next week. Revelation man, revelation man has given you a number. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope it has inspired you. More information about the show, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com.